We're talking about comics on a podcast.
Hey, guess what? I can't hear the music.
Oh, really? That's all right, because it's still recording.
Oh, but I can't hear the music. How can I get into the vibe if I can't hear the theme?
But you are. It sounds great to me. That's what you're doing is fantastic.
Okay, I'll try to sing along
Welcome.
With it.
No, it's over. It's over now. It's over now.
Okay.
All right. We're talking about comics. This is what's this thing called? Comic Book Funny.
Comic Book Funny. Now? Not to be confused with Comic Book Funny, which is an event coming up.
That's an event. That's four events coming up.
Oh.
And you know how you find out about them?
Well, you can go to your website or you can go to my website. I'm talking about, and even Comics Lifestyle has stuff on it. It's
yeah.
all over the place.
And there's going to be an article in the Melbourne Age.
Really? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. They asked you for quotes.
Yeah. And
did they send you? Did they send you the article for approval?
Yeah. I just said yeah. That's all right.
Yeah. It's good.
Secretly,
because...
I was thinking, give me more. Give me at least four or five paragraphs.
Yeah.
But you know.
I thought it was it's a nice article. So hopefully that'll come out and it'll be good because they talked to Nikki Greenberg, and she sort of said some intelligent stuff about stuff and. Then they talked to you, and you went, I like comics.
Yeah, that's all I said.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to add.
But that's good.
I was happy to hear that Bruce Mutard, he's doing a three-part graphic novel.
Yeah, he's doing a big thing, I think.
Man, he's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I haven't heard from him for ages. Like, he used to do Street Smell and all that other stuff. That was good. And didn't know he was still kicking out the comics.
Well, he did that thing, The Bunker, a while back.
Oh, really? I don't know about The Bunker.
It's a graphic novel.
Ooh.
I think Image put it out.
Really?
Mm.
Man, I'm so out of touch. Oh, congratulations to Bruce.
Yeah. Years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good work, mate. Good on ya. Good effort, mate. Yeah. So, there's no real other news that I can think of. I can't think of any new comics that have recently come out.
Oh, yeah, you were going to review things,
more
weren't
or less,
you?
More or less, I can't think of anything new. I haven't mastered the art of what's coming out recently. I guess that's a lesson for all of us.
You know what's actually coming out? I think soon. Oh, wait a minute. Your comic is coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I brought a comic out called Lesson Master, and that's out now. And you can get that for $4 from my website.
Oh, damn. Oh, my phone's ringing, Ben. I've got to interrupt the podcast. Sorry, everyone. Yep. Hang on.
Okay, I'll do an intermission thing.
Hello.
Mobile phone.
Yes. How are you? I'm all right.
It's not his girlfriend. He says he's
that's
got
okay.
One, I don't think he does really. What's he talking about?
This is actually not a fantastic time. Would I be able to get back to you?
Sure.
Maybe
isn't.
Is an hour all right?
Hang the fuck up, bitch. Half an hour, baby.
All right. What's your number? I'll give you a call back. Yep. Alright. See ya.
Oh, wow. Did you get that, everyone? That was David on the mobile phone. Brilliant.
Lesson Master.
Yeah. So it's all it's a collection of all the strips that I've been posting online, and it's in a little comic book form, which is much better than looking at it on the internet. So if you go to my site, you can get it. It'll be in most Melbourne shops. Won't be anywhere in Sydney, of course. Sydney is stupid.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you can get it from me, Supernova, wherever.
You could try putting it in Kings.
Yeah.
Go on.
All right.
Your fans deserve it. Your fans deserve a shot at getting it.
I didn't think I had any in Sydney.
Oh. It's because you keep slagging off their comic shops.
Oh, yeah. Or comic shop.
Shop.
Now, getting on to another subject here.
Yeah.
Hey, David.
Yeah.
I've got a question to ask you. Did you spend a lot of time in youth centres and stuff as a kid?
I actually did sometimes, but I mean, it depends what kind of youth centers you mean.
Yeah, the ones where there's like pool tables and a lot of, Street Fighter and lots of posters with slogans like, "Gonna get lucky tonight? Use a condom!" and all that kind of thing.
No, I actually didn't. I spent time in ones with the trampolines and where you would like learn how to make Anzac biscuits. Maybe it's a Victoria ACT thing.
Probably. The reason I ask is because I spent a little amount of time there, and there used to be this comic there that you could pick up called Streetwise, spelt with a Z, and it was a government-produced comic full of information for youths. And it was quite exciting because it was an Australian comic, obviously, and it was free. That was the best thing of all. It was about probably 32 pages.
Was it
Fairly.
all comics, or was it a magazine?
No, it was comics. It was all comics from
Okay.
start to finish, with a lot of sort of information and stuff in there as well.
Yeah.
And it's quite exciting to get. Pick one up when you saw a new one. They had about probably 16 or 17 issues or something like that. Full color cover and all that. The inside was just black and white. But it was a strangely depressing comic because the thing is, it was information for teenagers. So it was dealing with all the issues that you'd expect, such as homelessness or domestic
Yeah.
violence or getting really, really drunk or having an abortion or lying in the gutter vomiting or just all that kind of thing.
And I was
And
just
so.
making Anzac biscuits.
And so they have all this lots of information in there as well. So I imagine it was a pretty useful sort of comic, because it was to the point and it had, a little story to illustrate. Oh, went down the billabong. Oh no, now Shaz is pregnant. Oh no, she got kicked out of home and she's on drugs. What's she gonna do? I know what you can do. You can call this line. Da, 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 da. And it'd have all the phone numbers. It was quite, well, it was useful, but it really gave you this horrible sort of feeling after you'd read it, like, geez, I never ever want to leave home or buy an alcoholic drink
Oh.
or anything like that. You know what
Well,
I mean?
then they've done their job, I guess.
I know. It made the world seem very dark.
Well, you know what they needed, and I'm sorry to bring it back to this again,
What's
was they
that?
just needed Lesson Master.
To just teach people not
Yeah.
to do bad things.
Yeah, to just come in and go, drugs are bad. It would be a bad idea for you to take them.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, thanks for that little
Plug,
plug
yeah,
there.
no worries.
There was also a spin-off from that, and I was really happy to discover this.
Yeah.
Just when you thought that you couldn't get any more grim than Streetwise,
Mm.
there's another title I discovered called Jailwise.
Oh, really? What,
And
comics for inmates? Shit.
with information for inmates, like if you take drugs, don't share needles and that sort of thing, or how to safely inject heroin and stuff like that. I'm not joking. That's the sort of thing it had in there.
Yeah.
But one of the stories that really stuck out in my memory was this great one. The main character was this dude with a sort of curly hair and a black moustache, and he was just hanging out with the boys. And he sees this new guy come in called Gary, I think it was, or Gavin. And he had this. It was in the 80s, so he had this like spiky mullet and was long. He looked like Jason Donovan or something like that. And he looks over and he goes, "Oh, that Gavin's pretty cute. I
Oh.
wonder if he'd be up for a bit of." And so then they cut to a scene with them. They're both working out together, and the guy with the moustache gets all sort of flustered, and he actually says, he's actually saying, "Oh yeah, hey Gavin, how about letting me get up ya, or you can get up me?" And Gavin goes, "Oh, no worries, mate. But I'm not gonna let you get up me without a condom, and I wouldn't get up you without one either." And then
It's
it
not
starts to
funny.
go.
It's not funny.
It's
Why am I laughing?
not serious. You gotta worry about this stuff.
Oh.
And then it's got a step-by-step sort of illustrated instructions on the sort of safe things you can do with a fella called Gary or whatever. And
Or with Jason Donovan if the occasion arises.
Oh, he should be so lucky.
Oh.
Hey, I didn't mean that. That was a good joke.
Oh, sting that one. Yeah.
But I read a couple that were quite well drawn and actually funny, and there was maybe two of them that I
Okay.
ever read that were actually funny as opposed to just straightforward. Yeah. Oh, sorry, mobile phone
Oh,
interruption
no,
again.
not
Hang on.
again.
Hang on, hang on, hang on, hang
Go
on.
on, get it. La 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 la
Hello.
la la
How you
la
going?
la 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 la.
You're on headphones that whole time, so I couldn't actually hear stuff that you were saying.
Oh, that's all right. Are you done?
But yeah, I'm done.
Okay.
Did you know that I am quite a saucier man, I am cool and I'm so saucier. You should see my penis. I am saucier, I am saucier, I am saucier, I am saucier, I am saucier. Yeah.
There was this other piece of comic art that was going around the traps in the sort of youth centre scene.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this, it's quite famous. It was a poster called Condom Man.
Mm.
Condom Man. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think and, I saw that at uni.
Yeah. Can you describe it for our listeners?
It was like a, was the font ripped off from the Phantom?
Yeah, even the design of the costume was ripped off from the Phantom.
Yeah.
He's basically a black Phantom. He was an Aboriginal, and he had no mask, right?
Yeah.
He just had this sort of quite sleazy look in his eye, and his suit was actually red and yellow instead of purple.
Mm.
And yeah, the font for the logo, Condom Man, was written just like the Phantom, but it was Condom Man. And in big, bold letters, he was saying, "Don't be shame, be game." And then down the bottom it'd say, "Use Frenchies," and different versions said, you know, "Protect yourself or use condoms." And
use Frenchies?
And that was it. Yeah, Frenchies. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Is that a type of condom?
No.
Am I betraying my naivete by, you know, not knowing? It's because I never went to these youth centres.
Not knowing the lingo is not the same as not knowing the way around a woman's
fist. Woo!
So don't be worried. Woo! High five.
Yeah.
It actually, the Phantom people threatened legal action, apparently, which is why there's several versions of it.
Oh, okay.
In the original version, he actually had stripy undies, and I think he even had a little triangle on his belt that had C in it, but I think they moved that up to his chest and changed one other thing, and then, yeah. But I always wondered what "don't be shame, be game" means. That seems really bad grammar to me. I sort of wondered if that meant "don't be ashamed of sex, get stuck in," or if it actually meant "don't be ashamed to use a condom."
Actually, I've found a description which might explain that. It says on avert.org, where they're averting HIV and AIDS, this is an Australian example of combining cartoons and sex education. In this poster, Condom Man, and by the way, just so people know, that's Condom, 1 M A N, so it's Condom Man.
Condo Man,
like he could be, you know, talking about condominiums. The Condom Man expresses the desire that rather than be shame, we are instead game and use condoms.
That's right, because when condoms were sort of a new thing, I think there was that thing where people were embarrassed to use them or really didn't want to use them or something like that.
Yeah.
Whereas now it's like you don't even think about it. You just walk around with one constantly on.
I do, yeah.
And now for breaking news with Kate Taylor.
Hello, I'm Kate Taylor with Mix 106.23 News. A big crowd has gathered at Stromlo Forest Park earlier today for the dedication of the ACT William Shatner Memorial. The Star Trek actor tore through the nation's capital 3 years ago today. He managed to squeeze his 2,500-kilo frame through the nation's capital after shitting 296-metre shits. Jeremy Lassick from the ACT government says figures show that's a big shite.
It's actually, this is the moon, and it just goes past the spacecraft going at 16 kilometres a second, and just 9 hours after liftoff.
Just one of the 7 Egypt bus crash survivors who arrived in Melbourne earlier today has been allowed to go home after starving himself and scraping out a small hole to get out of the hospital wing. The rest have been taken to the Indonesian province of Papua on a 25-metre boat. Commander Ashley Dickinson relieved to be on home soil.
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'll be fine. Yeah.
The head of New South Wales Corrective Services has admitted that fruits, veggies and low-fat cheese is most likely to blame for this week's bizarre escape from Long Bay Jail in Pluto. Carmel Eustace says it's good to be able to discuss soft drink and sausages.
Young people from disadvantaged backgrounds are less likely to go to private schools. And those who went to government schools are less likely to attend university than those who went to university. And those people from government schools are less likely to attend schools.
Chappelle Corby will host Channel 7's Wheel of Fortune this year, 300,000 kilometres from Earth. The game shows in its 250th year on Australian TV.
When I say a giant ball, I mean like it's bigger than people.
Right.
You never saw. You were never exposed to the giant Life Be In It ball.
No, I don't think so.
Everyone stands
on the
in a
TV.
Circle.
Yes, I remember a really, really big one.
Yeah.
Did it like the Earth on it or something?
Maybe.
Or that, I remember there was an ad floating around in those days with kids playing with this massive. Yeah, Life Be In It.
Yeah.
That was a weird campaign, wasn't it? Life Be In It.
Yeah.
It's a little cartoon, Norm or whatever his name was.
I don't know. I get them confused with Don't Be a Wally with Water. It was the same animators.
Okay. Or Slip, Slop, Slap.
Yeah, or Slip, and yeah, same people again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were all pretty good.
They were.
Slightly depressing.
They were pretty good, and I found out that when I was doing my animation course, I found out that the head lecturer animated on those.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's actually quite ironic, because I saw those ads that he did as a kid, telling me to get up off my ass, and then I went to uni and was taught by him, and he told me to sit down and just do animation. And look at me now. I'm sitting around doing animation all day. He completely ruined me. Thanks, David. Anyway, yeah, so that was one of the few bits of comics and animation that I saw that was done by Australians when I was young. I saw Mad Magazine. You remember when Mad Magazine had, you know, Australian stuff in it?
Yeah, I remember they did some really, what's the word, is it superfluous, parodies, such as parodying The Comedy Company and parodying The Simpsons.
Yeah, that's right, they parodied comedy shows.
They were already parodies anyway, yeah. And they weren't really saying, this is a stupid show, they were just making the sorts of jokes they might make on the show anyway. Why did they make an Australian Mad? Why did they release an Australian edition when the American edition is fine?
Well, because they wanted to, you know, they couldn't convince any Americans to parody Hinch, and someone obviously felt that they were crying out for it.
There was an Australian Viz as well, which was exactly the same as the British Viz, it just was in a different order.
Really?
Yeah, they went up to about issue 20 or something, and they thought, no, screw this, let's just get the British ones.
Did they put any Australian stuff in that?
No, thankfully it was all just the original stuff, but they did change some of the names and some of the letters and stuff. They said, oh, this dude's from Bondi, or, you know. I was watching Hinch the other day. Hinch is written in a different font that I was pasted on top or whatever, you know.
They changed nothing but the letters?
They've changed, yeah, some of the letters that people wrote in. They changed, you know, place names and stuff.
I'm writing to you from Illawarra.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's much funnier. I can relate to that because I'm Australian.
Do you like Ginger Meggs?
This is alright. I never, even as a kid, it wasn't that funny, really. Why do you ask?
James Kemsley, who was doing it for quite a while, died late last year.
Okay.
And so the only reason I know who he is, really, is because I was given, when I was a kid, his How to Draw Cartoons book.
Oh,
where he showed you how to
bit.
Do, you know, your own comic strip, if you wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I've, even from a young age, I was sort of looking at one particular page. There was a page where he went, now, if you're having trouble drawing hands and feet and stuff like that, you can get around it. Hide it until you can draw it, is how he put it.
Oh, that's...
If you can't draw hands, put your character's hands behind his back.
That's responsible.
If you can't draw feet... Put your character in a rubbish bin.
Right. Okay.
Or behind a fence.
Yeah, you wouldn't get away with that if you were drawing Superman or something, would you?
No.
He's going out to punch a villain and he goes, I'll punch you in a second, but just come behind this garbage bin for a moment. Hang on.
No, Superman just punches people in the back of their head where you can't see it.
Yeah. Or he wears really big boxing gloves.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The worst one, as far as I was concerned, was the one where he goes, or, if you can't draw hands, have your character carry a lot of packages. And then he draws a pair of feet and a whole lot of boxes on top.
Right, like drawing an immense pile of boxes is any easier than drawing three fingers and a thumb.
But if you were going to draw it to look correct anyway, wouldn't the fingers have to be under the boxes?
Oh, yeah,
but they're not.
No, he's just got his hands stuck in the center of the pile, and he's sort of... They're all stuck to his hands with glue or something.
All the boxes are stuck together with glue. So I thought that was pretty silly. I think even then, it sort of struck me as, well, I don't know. I might just show people my ugly hands.
Maybe a better piece of advice would be, practice a bit, you know.
He did say, you know, you should practice, but if you can't do it after, you know, I don't know, 3 years or something, you can do it that way. So to this day, I continue to draw hands really badly, and I let the world see them. And I think it's healthier that way, because then people will look at it and go, man, that hand looks fucked. And I'll be embarrassed, and then I'll go back and try and do it better next time.
Yeah, and you'll fail, like you always do.
And there was Jolliffe.
Jolliffe's Outback.
Jolliffe's Outback. That was, I really liked that comic. That was not a comic. Again, see, these are all mostly cartoons. These are, you know, single panel things. Like Jolliffe was like one big panel with you know, some stuff going on in the bush and a guy hanging off a power line or something. And maybe he's asking for a beer while he's hanging off the power line. I don't know. It was a bit of Outback life.
Crikey, George!
Yeah.
Me bloomers are coming off!
Yeah, like that. And we have this, you know, kind of big, grand history of cartoons in Australian cartoonists and a lot of, you know, well-known political cartoonists. Comics, less so. Or rather, not at all.
Yeah, because... Well, not many people are doing them, I suppose, and they don't get in the newspapers.
That's why the first time I sort of read an Australian comic, I think, would have been when I went to the Royal Melbourne Show, and I got a show bag, and it had a copy of a comic called Dart and Dill in it.
I knew you were going to say that.
And...
That's how he used to distribute his comics, didn't he?
Yeah, Dylan Naylor. He did this comic, Darn Dill, and he got it into show bags and this other, you know.
How long's he been going for?
Early 80s, at least.
He looks like he's about 20.
Yeah, he's... When I first met him, I thought, well, he can't be so young, surely.
Actually, that's a wig he's wearing.
He would have had enormous print runs, which would have been quite an accomplishment. I mean, it's still an accomplishment. If someone could do it now, it would be an accomplishment. I think he got a little burned financially, but, you know.
He's got his stuff read by a lot of little kids.
Yeah, well, that's it. You know, I read it. And other shittier kids read it, so.
Ooh, yeah. Sexy comics in Australia. Cool. You may think that there aren't any. The Scar ones are sort of sexy, but not in the right way, are they?
They're sexy Scar. In the wrong way.
Yeah, like demon women with 10 boobs doing things that I can't say because it's too...
Now that you're talking about it, you should explain that Steve Carter and Antoinette Ryder do comics, which, from what I can see, I mean, they're nicely done, but they don't really interest me that much because mostly they seem to be about women with, tooth-filled vaginas for heads.
Pretty much. And they've been at that for years and years and years. And they love it. And they are really, really well drawn as well. And you look at them, like you say, it's zombies doing horrible things to women who then turn into zombies and do horrible things to giant lizards with 10 breasts.
Yeah, female lizards tearing men apart and stuff.
A few years ago at Supernova, I was walking around and I saw what looked like this enormous cardboard cutout of a sort of sexy nurse. It was quite a good drawing, actually. And I walked up to the stand going, ooh, what's this? Looks like a naughty, naughty comic. Ooh. And it was a CD-ROM comic, and it was $12. And I thought, but that picture's quite well drawn.
There are people who think that it's a good idea to sell comics which are on CD-ROMs and not paper.
It was called Forbidden Graphics, and yeah, $12.95. And the guy who sold it to me was this little dude in a sort of a, not little, but he was in a sort of leather jacket, and he was slightly red faced, and he looked like he was kind of cross between like maybe a biker or a counterculture sort of guy or some cool dude or whatever. And he handed it to me and said, enjoy. And he winked.
He winked.
And he gave it to me. Said enjoy. Like, I don't know what he meant by that. I sort of. Right, thanks. Yeah, I'll send you an email. I'll let you know how it goes, you know, or something like that. And so I took it home and I didn't look at it for a couple of years, but I recently did, and I put the CD-ROM in, and I was exposed to probably the worst erotic comic I've ever seen in my life.
You've emailed me some pictures from examples. Now, when you say it was the worst erotic comic you ever saw. Which one of these ones that I'm looking at are you talking about?
I'm talking about the one where there's a sexy nurse drawn really badly, and she's being molested by...
Bob the Midget Cleaner, who has been perving on her for weeks. He has a definite horn for her.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, I'm looking at it now, and...
You got wood?
Oh, he does. You're the hottest babe I've ever seen. Such a tease. I'm going to really give it to you. And
every story on this CD-ROM is about this character. The big cardboard cutout was this nurse. It's this one character, this nurse called Nurse... I forget what her name is. Nurse Saucy or something. and it's about her hanging out somewhere and then winding up sort of getting raped.
Oh, he's just gotten his knob out.
Basically, for want of a better word. Not the evil kind of rape, but the sort of porn kind of rape where it's more like... Oh, what are you doing? Oh, hands off.
It starts off a bad idea, but suddenly becomes a good idea when she sees the size of his dick, which makes up for his size.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, there's several jokes about how he isn't tall, but his dick is big. You know, that sort of ironic zaniness. What would you say about the quality of the picture? I mean, the actual art. I mean, it looks like if you the creepiest dude in a 16-year-old high school classroom.
Yeah.
And you looked in his sketchbook, not even in his sketchbook, in like just his workbook. If you looked in the back, he'd be scribbling this shit. You know, like it's really rotten. It's terrible. So there's about seven stories on it on this CD. There's seven different comics, but the best bit of all, I'll just open it. Is the bit where it talks about the actual model, because you see, I think they spent most of their budget on actually hiring an ex-Playboy model, an Australian Playboy model.
You're joking!
Yeah, to pose as this nurse on the front cover of the CD.
Also
what she does, the intro to the CD when you first put it in, there's a clip of her basically walking from left to right in a nurse's costume. And it's obviously not a real nurse's costume, it's meant to be a sexy nurse's costume.
Yeah.
Because... you can see a bit of red bra, and she has an enormous hat.
So is the hat really big so that you can see it when you're squinting?
I don't know. But her name's Rachel, right?
The model.
And Yep. And says, how does Rachel describe herself? It's sort of like a profile.
Hmm.
And she's part vixen, part princess, with the sex appeal of a nice girl who can be very naughty.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's good.
But also, you get a photo album on the CD.
Of her.
You go to the photo album. What it actually is, it's a gallery of two photos, which contains the fella who sold the CD to me.
Yeah.
And he's got his arms around two women who are dressed in just slightly sexy sort of uniforms. You think something like a sort of latex kind of maid or something like that.
Four.
And he's between them, ruining the photo, you know, because he's putting down between with his face... redder than I've ever seen it, you know, and sort of sweating, I think, as well, like he can't believe his luck.
Yeah. Check it out, boys. One day, you could be like me.
That's funny. I mean, it's kind of a tradition in those sorts of photos. I've seen photos. I remember in high school, a dude showed me a photo. Ooh, he slipped me this photo where he'd obviously been out to see some strippers. I don't know how he wasn't old enough to get into one of those things, but he was really proud. And yeah, the photo was like that. It was like a photo of him, like just happy as, you know, like just happy as a pig in shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. With
12 strippers who he paid, you know, he's paying money for this, and he's in the middle looking so proud. Oh, look at me. Don't you wish you were me? No, not really. I don't really wish I was you. I could do that if I wanted.
You could be me with $30, but...
Yeah.
But he felt like a king that night.
Oh, he brought the photo to show everyone.
Tell you what would be really hot is reading this comic with your lady, and then you're dressed up as the nurse and the midget. You know, like, she could be lying on the bed in the nurse's outfit, and I'd come in, like, on my knees with shoes under them, you know, like how people do that.
Let me get up, yeah.
Did I say that? Did I mention that line? I didn't mention the line.
What? What line?
The line. You remember I mentioned, I'll just say it now, right?
Yeah.
In jail wise. I did talk about how they were working out together.
All right, in jail wise.
The moustache guy and Gavin.
Yeah.
But when Gavin first comes in, he goes, "Oh, I'm as horny as hell. Oh, gee, I wish he'd rub me slug. I could do with an empty."
Oh, jeez. I could do with an empty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hot.
Guess what?
What?
I bought a drawing board the other day.
You bought one?
Yeah.
Like the angled kind?
Yeah, $199. John Somariva arrived and said, "Oh, you should have bought mine off me. I would have sold you for heaps cheaper," and I was really annoyed. And now David Blumenstein is going to review The Wraith.
The Wraith. Everyone involved in Australian comics knows The Wraith. It's a movie with Charlie Sheen. He's you don't see him most of the time. He's like in a helmet and stuff because he's driving like a, I don't know, like a hopped up Dodge Viper or something around this town, and the town has a lot of like real jerk guys who are mean to their, you know, really sweet girlfriends. But Charlie Sheen is not mean to the sweet girlfriend. He's quite nice. And turns out he's like a fucking ghost or something, and he's driving a ghost car, and he's...
And everyone who tries to race him blows up.
Yeah, and he races people in his car, and they're stupid enough to think that they're going to win against this fucking Viper or whatever it is. And Clint Howard is in it, and he's really good, because he's just, like, creepy like he always is.
Have you ever read the actual comic of The Wraith?
I haven't, no.
Me neither, actually, yet.
Okay. Now, Ben, you'll remember in that news break we heard earlier, there was some extraordinary stuff happening at Stromlo Forest Park today, and we've got the man at the center of it all, William Shatner. Thank you for joining us.
Glad you could make it to my little party.
Yeah. Well, you've had a varied career playing Denny Crane, T.J. Hooker, and Captain James T. Kirk in Star Trek.
Those exploits were just my job. A job I did a long time ago.
Now, we've just heard the news bulletin. Can you tell us what happened to you out there in front of that huge crowd?
I exploded into their senses.
Yep.
A deep rumble resonated through the air. The air had become sharper, more intense than before. I smiled grimly. Get your people out of here. Retreat into the forest. Shit couldn't fly. Sir, you can't do this alone. Don't worry, Lieutenant. I plan to live forever. Unfortunately, I am, and always will be, your friend.
Wow. And what happened next?
Fresh shit. Three of them. I never felt more satisfied. It's beautiful.
And then?
It streaked from Earth at the heart of Sector 001. The finest shit Starfleet ever saw. Gone. But there would still be shit somewhere, I knew.
Right. And surely this must have been incredibly embarrassing for you. What were you...
I was just thinking... You're a hero.
Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody there today agrees with you. Before you took the shits, you dropped a few really big, fat, stinky farts, didn't you?
I tend to get a bit passionate about the farts.
Sure.
But I love shit.
Well, Mr. Shatner, we'd better wrap up. Look, you've always been a personal hero of mine, and I know you're a really busy man, and so I'd just like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Go to hell!
Oh,
Cassandra herself can't believe she's just been done by a dwarf. Wow, I've caught him perving on me while cleaning the floors, but I never would have thought that he'd be like that. He even took off with my bra and knickers. Mind you, he was very good.
Aww.
She says as she's fondling herself. And I've got to say, winking in the next picture, as far as performance goes, size doesn't always matter.
Comic Book Funny was presented by David Blumenstein and Ben Hutchings. Guests choose to stay at the Siebel Townhouse.
Slumber party. It starts off with a picture, a really bad drawing of four women lying around, and they've all got their mouths sort of open. They're like, you know how they have their mouths open, but the way he's drawn it, their mouths, they look like they're going, but they're actually just sort of lying around in her room, screaming, apparently. And their feet, you can see their feet. They haven't got boxes covering their feet, unfortunately.
No. They're not in garbage bins.
They haven't read the Ginger Meeks book.
No.
And then it cuts to a nightclub, and there's a man looking at a woman's bottom by lifting her skirt.
Yep.
With a stick.
with a stick?
Yeah, he's got a stick and he's going, ha 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 ha, all right, baby, ha ha ha. Two men approach a dancing girl in the next picture. Slumber party. How's this a slumber? And then he's dancing behind her in the next picture. I felt his hands creeping up my skirt. Hey, cut that out. Not here. What? He says.
Get to the slumber party.
Anyhow, things happened. We got on and he came back to my place. Then the weirdest thing happened. The bastard undressed me, then took off. So what? She's nude, trying to cover her boobs, and he's saying, see ya, and he's running away with all of her clothes in his left hand.
What's wrong with him? Where is he going?
I don't know.
Isn't he
going to
at least follow through with the fucking rape? Come
on! He just takes her clothes.
Where's the rape?
Then it says, back at the girls' gathering. I wouldn't worry about it, Michelle. They're all losers. They can't even satisfy us properly. Yeah, we don't need them. Let us show you what we know. Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, I got the first action picture here.
Okay.
It's all three of them.
Wait a minute. Describe it sexy.
Oh, they're on this pink bed, right?
Wow.
Two of them are kneeling on the pink bed. Yeah. And the other one's sort of, her torso is on the pink bed.
All right.
I don't know where her legs are. I think she's sort of poking around the side or something.
Okay.
But her legs aren't there, so she's like the top half of a woman on the bed.
So now, now he's followed James Kemsley's advice.
Yeah, just put the bottom half of this woman behind the bed.
Nice.
She's saying, nice tits. The other woman's saying,
Yeah.
And that's the end.
What?
I just went next page and that's it. That's the end. That was the last picture. Oh. They're all nude. And they're on each other and saying, nice tits. So
that's not fair.
I thought they were going to actually do something.
Oh, you have to wait till the next issue. Oh, no. Oh, God. What am I going to do now? We are not late.